The Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out; Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household; Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. That's the end of the reading, just for now. I don't know whether you've ever heard a sermon preached on these three verses. And I don't know whether today will necessarily be regarded as a sermon, but hopefully some really important things to grab out of these three verses that we have just read together here at the beginning of Luke chapter 8. And particularly this is in the context of the dedication of Jack and Ryan this morning, but also in the context of us as a church, and in the context of what God's calling us to do and what we're aiming to do in this year. Firstly, these people that are listed in these verses here were people that had encountered God. And when we think about what we're on about as a church and why we exist, we've got these three words on the wall: encounter, encourage, and engage. And all of these people, these men and these women, these disciples, Peter, James, and John, and then Mary, and Mary from Magda, and then Susanna and Joanna, they're all people who had encountered God. And when we are seeking to be a community where young people grow up to have faith in Jesus, we need to be a community where we encounter God. And it's not just something that happened last year or 10 years ago or 50 years ago or whatever it is, but that us encountering God is something that regular and routinely happens. Now, I'm not by saying encountering God, I'm talking about, you know, flashing lights and peals of thunder and people falling down all around us because we can't cope, and we falling down. That, not that intensity of encounter, but in the subtleness of the sunset or the reading of the scripture, or in the stillness of your heart, or in the community gathering, or the answer to prayer, or the activity that we do together. That there's all these places where we can encounter God, and we need to be people who regularly and routinely encounter God. And then we need to be people who help our young people, and Jack and Ryan included in that, help them to encounter God. And part of that is helping them to recognize the encounters. You think about when Samuel was in the temple and God was calling to him, and Samuel thought it was Eli who was calling to him. And Eli said, no, he had to say, no, actually it's not me, it's God. And part of the subtlety of, and God speaks to us in a quiet voice because otherwise we'd be totally overwhelmed most of the time. And so part of what we need to do is we need to be people who can help each other recognize where God's up to something. Recognize when God is doing something or saying something or giving something or asking something or encouraging us in some way. And so just like this community here described in these three verses, we need to be people who encounter God in the dramatic ways as well, but also in the smaller and less dramatic ways as well. There was a conference held last week at Sindel Baptist, and it was based on some research about the key factors that went into people, young people growing up to have a vibrant faith of their own. And one of the key things that they found was that they had their own encounters with God. So it wasn't just the faith of their parents or the faith of others, but it was their experience of God that was real. A second thing was that they were part of, their parents in particular, were people who modelled a life with God. And we think here it's not just about the parents, but about all of us modelling a life with God. And particularly for young people, they need to see people other than their parents following God. Now, because at some point when they're growing up, their parents will start to seem a bit daggy. Now, at the age that Ryan and Jack are at the moment, that's not a problem at all. But give it a few years and there will be times when they'll say, oh, And at that point, it'll be really important for them that they see models of following Jesus in us. So, their own encounters with God, modeling of what it means to walk with Jesus. And the third thing that they need is that they need a community to be a part of that's encouraging to them. And our second word that helps us focus on why we exist as a church is that we exist to encourage each other. And this verse here was a group of people, these verses that we read were a group of people that were encouraging each other, just not by being with each other, but also financially and supporting each other. And so we need to make sure that we are that for the young people in our church. We need to make sure that we are that for each other as well. But encounters with God, encouraging community. And then the other thing that this group of people were, they were on mission with Jesus. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And there was 12 disciples and all these women with him. They were in a group together on mission. They were engaging, dare I say it, our third word, engage, engaging with the communities around them. And that's really important for us to do, because it's in the so often in the engaging with people around us that we actually grow the most as Christians. It's in engaging with the people around us that we encounter God's power and God's presence in ways that we wouldn't if we were just huddled in a church building. It's engaging with the people around us where there's rich opportunities for discipleship that come all of the time. And so we need to be a community that takes our young people with us on mission. In the simple ways, like going and doing Clean Up Australia Day last week, we just get out of our church building, we go down and do something with the community, people from the community come, the local state member of parliament came and many of his staff and some other local people who were into the environment and council workers, and we interacted with them and we did some good things together. And we engaged with them and we were able to share about why we were doing it and what sort of things we were about. And so as we think about being a community for Jack and Ryan, we need to be people who encounter God, encourage each other, and engage with the communities around us. And we can just think about that as those as practices, if you like, for our own lives. How do we go at encountering God on a regular basis? How do we go at both giving and receiving encouragement from other followers of Jesus? And how do we engage with the community around us? It's not about us being perfect at these things. It's not about us being, you know, scoring a perfect 10 every day for all of these things. But they're just simple words that we can think about and remind ourselves of that help us focus on the things that will be effective and the things that are important. So encounter, encourage, and engage. But I would also like to suggest this morning that these verses that we have read here are an example of a missional community. So in the life of our church here, we've talked about over numbers of years about being involved in missional communities. And what's a missional community? Well, a missional community is a mid-sized group of people. It's not a big Sunday service. It's not a small Bible study, but it's a mid-sized group of people, 15 to 30 people. And that's exactly what this group was. It was Jesus, it was the 12 disciples, and at least three women and some others as well. And they were a community of people that were on mission. They weren't just in a building having synagogue services, but they were going around from place to place. And at the end of 2013, we had numbers of missional communities operating in the life of our church, and we closed them down because we wanted to reflect on what was good about them and what was not so good about them. And through the first half of last year, we did some reflecting about that and got people who had been involved, and we sat down and we talked about it, and we said, yes, this is good and that was not so good, and if we did it again, we'd do it differently in this way. And so in the last quarter or third of last year, we've started to re-engage in the whole missional community thing. And we started by starting one missional community based out of our house that we're calling Katz Noikos. And we are trying to be a mid-sized group of people on mission with a clear leadership. So this group that we read about in these verses had clear leadership. Jesus was clearly the leader of it. Secondly, we're trying to be a group that has a critical mass so that we're big enough to do things together. And Jesus here in this passage was taking with him a group of 15, 20, 30 people that had critical mass to do things together. And we want to be also people who do mission and discipleship together. And I'm actually going to read a few more verses from the, because there's great examples of this just in the next few verses, describing how this actually worked. So while a large crowd was gathering, this is verse 4 of Luke chapter 8, and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. So now there's mission happening. This is a description of mission happening. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Then he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And so here we have Jesus engaging with the community around it, who were mostly an agrarian community, a farming community, speaking to them in the language that made sense to them, giving them pictures of what it's like to live in the kingdom of God with the metaphors that they could grasp. But here's where the discipleship bit comes in, because the disciples were confused. And so often when we go off and engage in mission, we get confused about something or are uncertain about something, or we've got some questions that are raised about why do we say that, or what do we say in this circumstance, or why should we do that, or how do we pray for this person? And so here Jesus is modelling on-the-job discipling. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables. And he goes on to explain that. And in other accounts of where this parable has been told in public, it says that the disciples came to him in private afterwards. Now, so they go out and do the public thing, they engage with the community around them, and then there's something that the disciples are scratching their heads about, and so afterwards they go and say, hey Jesus, what's this all about? And Jesus unpacks that for them and begins to help them understand what his teaching is about in a deeper level and a deeper way. And that's exactly a picture of what we want our missional community life to be. We want to be a mid-sized group of people that has a clear mission, that has discipleship that happens in the midst of that and on the way. And so our hope and our prayer and our aim for this year is that all of us have an opportunity to be involved in a mid-sized group like this. A missional community that has a clear leadership, a clear missional vision, and has a rhythm of life that includes discipleship and engaging with the community around us. Those of us that have been experimenting with this in the Katz and Oikos, some of us sat down at the beginning of the year to try and clarify what we were about. We're trying to establish a clear missional purpose and also to live out a rhythm of that life. And so we met together over a couple of Sunday afternoons and really reflected on the community that we were a part of, the people we were called to, some of the problems that were there, some of the resources that we had. And we were able to clarify that for the Katz Noikos is called to the people in the Cadson and Ashwood area, but particularly those people who are disconnected, whether they're because they're international students who have just moved into the area, or they're young mothers who are isolated at home because they can't get out much with young babies, or maybe it's their people who are, for whatever reason, are less well off and don't have the resources to connect with other things. We want to be people who welcome those sorts of people into a life-giving community. And we also want to serve the people in this community around us. We want to be, if you like, a bit of a motley crew. Motley crew, missional community, same letters, X. Excellent. That's something that I love. And it just comes back exactly to this passage here, which is a motley crew as well. You think about it. There was the 12 disciples, and that included some hot-headed fishermen, a dodgy tax collector, some people who were like freedom fighters or terrorists. And then you had the women, some of whom were from all strata of society, a demon-possessed woman who had had a real struggle in life, through to the wife of a high-ranking official in Herod's court. All different sorts of people together in this group of people that Jesus took around on mission with him. And we want to be that too. And Katz and Oikos, we're a bit of a motley crew as well. And we're trying to live life together on a regular basis. We're trying to eat together regularly. We're trying to pray together regularly. We're trying to welcome people into our community regularly. We're trying to do mission and service on a regular basis. And so our hope is that across this year, that we provide places for all of us to be in groups that get close to what's described in these verses that we read together today. We think it's one of the competencies that we need to have. At the beginning of this year, we talked about being deliberate in our discipleship. And if we're going to be deliberate in our discipleship, we need to grow in the content of our faith. We also need to grow in the character of our character so that we become more like Christ. And we've looked at the Sermon on the Mount in detail about that. But we also need to be able to do the sorts of things that Jesus did. And these verses were not put in the Gospels by accident. They were not put in there by mistake. And they're not just like filler words that separate different stories that happen. There's not just a filler between Jesus talking anointed by a sinful woman at the end of chapter 7 and the parable of the sower in chapter 8. It's not just filler words. But all of these bits that we've tended to skip over when we've read the Gospels in the past are actually full of competencies, the sorts of things that Jesus did with his disciples. And then if you read the book of Acts, you find that they were the sorts of things that those disciples did when they were in community and on a mission together. So this whole fresh dimension of the Gospels, we're looking at what Jesus did and how he did it, is really important for us as a faith community to look at. Jesus demonstrated and gave examples to his disciples about how they could be in a mid-sized group, an extended family if you like, not tied together by being all relatives of one another, but tied together by a common bond in Jesus. Sharing life together, supporting each other financially and in other ways, and going and doing mission together. That's one of the things that Jesus called his disciples into being, into experiencing. And it's one of the things that they then lived out in the early church. And it's one of the things that we want to do here. And so, apart from being committed to encountering, encouraging, engaging for Jack and Ryan's benefit, I want us to think about this year, maybe not today, but sometime across this year, that you would become part of one of these groups that we're beginning to grow. At the moment, there's really two places where you can be connected with something like that. The first one is in this thing called Katz and Oikos, and we meet regularly on a Sunday evening for a meal together. And if you'd like to come and be part of that, we'd love to welcome you. My hope and expectation is that out of that there will be some other groups that are established over time. So it's not just one group. So if you think, well, I don't know that I necessarily want to be directly connected to this mission of Katz and Oikos, that's okay, but you can come and join us for a while and learn how to do it with us so that you can go and do it yourself later in some other way with some other group of people. And so we would welcome you to be part of it on a medium term or a temporary basis. Or maybe it is, yeah, I'm really committed to trying to reach the people in the streets around this area and the people that are disconnected, and you think, yeah, that's something that I want to be involved in, and so I'm going to come and join that. Or maybe another place you can be connected at this point is with International Nights, and if you're interested in trying to help Ed with that and trying to provide a place where international students and those who have graduated and trying to find work can be an extended family for them, go and chat with Ed or Ashley, who's not here today, and see how you can help them. But a core competency for us as followers of Jesus, I think, needs to include how can we do life together in extended families, spiritual extended families, on mission? Because that's what Jesus did. And it's what helped change the world of the early church. And what can help change the community that we are a part of. This vision of kingdom living. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. A remarkable vision of a motley crew who became a missional community and changed the world around them. May we have that same vision of being a motley crew who form missional communities and see the world around us changed as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these apparently incidental verses in the Gospels, well, that so often we might have just glanced over, but that contain so much rich resource for us in the competencies of being Christians, in the skills we need as followers of Jesus. Lord, help us to learn to live this sort of life. Help us to learn from you, Jesus. Help us to learn from each other and for others around the world who are seeking to do this. Help us to learn from our mistakes and our successes. Lord, so that people around us would have opportunities to know you better and would experience the goodness of your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.